Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, May 13th.
Good morning. And happy Mother's Day to you who are out there. Please take note of all the announcements that are in your bulletin insert. See what's going on here at the church. And I do have a couple of things to add. In our prayers today, we do include the family of Dee Tesh. Dee's husband, Harold Tesh, was a pastor here for a time a number of years ago. We also remember in our prayers Betty Christ. Betty Christ was the wife of Pastor Tim Christ, who is pastor at Joy Lutheran Church in Richmond, Texas, one of our NALC congregations. He is also the dean of our Mission District, South Texas Mission District, and she has passed away this week. So we remember Pastor Tim Christ or the family of Betty Christ in our prayers today. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Anybody else have announcements? Yes, Nicholas.
Good morning, St. Paul. Morning. Thank you for being here with us today. Two quick announcements I want to make is this Friday, May 18th, we are going to Laser World, and we, St. Paul, can't offer rides because we don't have the vehicle for that. So, for any parents who are wondering, hey, how are the kids going to get there and back, it's all on you, the parent. And just as a reminder, for anybody who wants to play laser tag, it's only going to be $5. And the way that's going to work is you're going to come to and meet me in this parking lot by the fellowship hall. You're going to hand me the $5 of cash for anyone who wants to play laser tag, whether you're a kid or an adult. And that's it. That's all you pay. If you just want to go for pizza and drinks, then St. Paul has you covered. If you want to go for arcade, I'll slide you some money so you can go get some quarters, because quarters are a little bit expensive. But I think that's the deal we're going to work on. May 27th, Sunday, I need as many parents as possible to meet me downstairs in my youth room, because I'm going to go over with you the plans for the summer and the plans going out with the youth program. And this involves almost all the youth from top to bottom. And it's just a rough draft and almost like a phase one of what we're going to do. And the most important thing we're going to talk about that day is discipleship. Discipleship starts at home in the families, and then we're going to discuss our role here in the church and how we support you and how you support us. All right, that's it.
All right, thank you, Nicholas.
Other announcements? Any other announcements? If not, then we sing our gathering hymn number 359. I invite you to rise as you are so able.
The congregation may be seated. And you are asked to follow along with the order of holy baptism. It is at the beginning of your green hymnals in the front of the LBW on page 121. Page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As he grows in years, you should place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of his baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations?
I do.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that he who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of him who is cleansed by this water, and bring him forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay. Go and hold him over there. Okay. Just hold him over here.
Charles Roy Cook IV, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Okay. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Charles, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Charles, child of God, you have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with that cross forever. Amen.
Charles, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new brother a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as fellow members of the body of Christ, children of the same Heavenly Father, and workers with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And I think we have a few gifts this morning.
On behalf of the Cradle Workshop here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, we would like to present Charles with his hand-knitted blanket. and may each stitch remind him of the love that God has for all of his children.
And on the behalf of the women of St. Paul Lutheran, I have the first Bible to present to him. And as he grows in years, may he also grow in the love of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for him and for us all.
You think he would come to me? Come here? Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. All right, you want to go see everybody? Let's go see everybody. All right. And we welcome our newest member. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and eternal God, your Son, our Savior, is with you in eternal glory. Give us faith to see that, true to his promise, he is among us still and will be with us to the end of time, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 535.
first lesson is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. In the days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, Peter oversees the process whereby one of the members of the community of believers is chosen to be the 12th apostle in order to fill the vacancy created by Judas's treachery and death. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, through David, foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share of this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 1. We will read it responsively. "Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is sin."
The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. "God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and has the promise of eternal life. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I have come from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father.
Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in a world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. One more here coming up. Good morning. Good morning to y'all. Good morning. Did you know that last Thursday was a special day? It was actually a holiday. Last Thursday was a holiday. You know, today's a holiday. Today's Mother's Day, right? You did remember Mother's Day? Uh-huh. But Thursday was also a holiday. It was a very important holiday in the life of the church. It was called Ascension Day. Anybody have any idea what Ascension means? Okay. Have you ever heard the word ascend? Maybe, maybe not. Ascend means to go up. And so Ascension Day was the day that Jesus went back to heaven. It was after Easter, and he had talked to disciples and followers, and God raised him back up to go back to heaven. And so on Ascension Day, that's what we celebrate. But in our gospel reading today is a story, or it's actually a prayer. And Jesus was a little bit worried. He was worried about his disciples because he knew that he was not going to be with them much longer. When he prayed this prayer, it was on the night that he was going to be arrested. He was going to be arrested, and then he would suffer many things, and he would die on the cross. And then he knew then, too, a short time after that, that he would go back up to heaven. And so he was somewhat worried about his disciples, and so he prayed for them. He prayed to God that he told God, thank you for giving them to me. If you remember from last week, we talked about that Jesus called his disciples his friends because they had lived together and walked together and ate together for 3 years. He had taught them, he had instructed them. And so he called them his friends. And he tells God, thank you for giving them to me as my friends. But he also prays that please protect them because he knew that he wasn't going to be there for a little while, for much longer. And so he prays that God would protect them from the evil one, that they may stay together and that they may stay strong in faith. Do y'all ever pray? When do y'all pray? At nighttime when you're ready to go to bed? Okay, at breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Uh-huh, before you eat. Any other times? You know that you can pray any time of the day, and you can pray for anything that you feel like you need to pray for. Tell you what, I've got a prayer too for y'all today. All right, I'm going to say thank you, God, for something, and I want to point to it, and then y'all finish it, okay? All right, so thank you, God, for my... All right, thank you, God, for my... Thank you, God, for the crowd or for everyone. Uh-huh. Thank you, God, for what?
Everything.
That's right. Thank you, God, for everything. Okay. But we can also pray to God for certain things. If there are things that worry us or trouble us,
We can pray, or things that scare us, we can pray to God for that too. So I want you to do something here. Kind of make a little box with your hands. Can you make a little box with your hands? Okay? And I want you to whisper into that box something that makes you sad, or something that has you worried, okay? Or something that has you scared, something that scares you. Whisper into that box something that makes you sad or worried or scared, okay? Whisper into that box. Okay, now take that box, rub it together. Rub your box together and throw it up. Throw up that box. We're giving that back to God so that we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be scared about it anymore. But God will take care of that for us. That God takes care of those things. Okay? We can always pray to God. We can always give thanks to God. And we can always tell Him what's got us worried. Okay. All right. Y'all can go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard the saying before, a family that plays together stays together. And I think it makes a reference to that if you are a family, that you do need to spend time together with each other. And it's not only just taking care of the things that need to be taken care of, but it also means enjoying each other, to spend time actually playing. Maybe going on vacation or taking trips or just staying home and playing, however that family enjoys doing that. Because I think as you spend time just enjoying each other, you're more likely to stick together, support one another, and just enjoy life much more. But I want to rephrase that just a little bit. Instead of saying the family who plays together stays together, I want to say the family who prays together stays together. A study was done several years back on marriages and some things that maybe held them together or some things that broke them apart. In that study, over the general population of all the people that they studied, and they selected a very large group, over that group of people, they found that about 50% of marriages stayed together. But they found then too that of those groups that they surveyed, that the marriages or the couples that said that they had an active church life, and I assume that would mean coming to church on a regular basis and maybe participating in committees or maybe one of the music ministries that they have going on or maybe service projects, or maybe in the leadership of the church, but if they had an active church life, if that married couple had an active church life, then the percentage of staying together was 75%. And one of the questions that the survey asked is, do you do home family devotions? And surprisingly, there were quite a few out of that survey. There were 1,350 couples that answered, yes, we do home devotions. And home devotions would include reading either some devotional material or maybe reading through Scripture or talking about Scripture or talking about a Sunday school lesson, maybe even singing a hymn and having some prayers. But for those families who said yes, that they do a family home devotional, out of that 1,350 couples that were interviewed, only one couple ended in divorce. That's better than a 99.9% rate of sticking together. The family that prays together stays together. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus prays for his disciples. They pray together, and Jesus prays for them. Chapter 17 in John's Gospel is known as the Great Priestly Prayer. And it takes up that whole chapter 17. And in that chapter, Jesus does pray for a number of different things. One of the things that he prays for is himself. Now, it sounds a little bit egotistical to pray for yourself, but that's what Jesus does. And as a matter of fact, though, in another story, Jesus is critical of people who pray for themselves. If you remember that story where he calls the Pharisees hypocrites because they stand on the street corner and raise their arms and raise their voices, and they say in a very loud voice, "Thank you, God, that you have made me a Pharisee and not like one of these sinners out here." But Jesus, too, prays for himself. But he prays for himself in a different way. He says, "Father, glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify the Father." What do we pray for? A lot of times we, too, pray for ourselves. We pray for maybe giving thanks. "God, thank you for all the great things that you've given me." Sometimes we pray for things that we want or things that we think we need. Sometimes we complain to God. Sometimes we whine to God. Sometimes we even try to bargain with God. "God, help me through this surgery, and I will be in church every Sunday afterwards. God, help me get that promotion at work, and I'll put some more money in the offering plate." Unfortunately, we don't always follow through with those bargains that we make with God. But Jesus prays for himself in a way that is truly not really for himself, but it is for the glory of God. "Father, glorify the Son so that the Son, so that the Father may be glorified." It's a somewhat dangerous prayer to pray. If we pray in that way, it is a dangerous way to pray, because think about it. The way that God was glorified through the Son was through his suffering and through his death. By Jesus coming to this earth and taking on humanity. By Jesus undergoing that suffering. By Jesus dying on the cross. And that is how God was glorified. That is the glory of Christ. But we too can pray that same way. "Father, glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify the Father." We can pray in that same way, with that same light, that we're not focusing upon ourselves, but that we're focusing upon God or focusing upon our neighbor. "God, help me through this surgery so that I may have several more years to continue to doing ministry. God, make me strong in faith so that I can proclaim your word, so that I can tell others about the kingdom of God. God, give me courage, even when I am weak, even when I have doubts. We can pray in that same way that Jesus prayed. "Father, glorify the Son, so that the Son may glorify the Father." One of the other things that Jesus prays for here in this prayer is for his disciples. As I mentioned in the children's sermon, that this was a troubling time for Jesus and for his disciples. In just a few hours, Jesus would go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would pray for a little while, and then he would be arrested, and the events would start of his passion, of his suffering, and of his death. And so it was an intense time, and he was concerned about his disciples. He had been teaching them. He had been with them. He had been around them. The disciples had seen the miracles. They had heard his words. But yet Jesus was still concerned about him. Because Jesus at this point is still tied to this earth. He is still fully human. And as a human, he is tied to space and time. He could only be in one place at one time. He could only visit with so many people at one time. And there were thousands of people who needed his ministry. There were millions of people throughout the world who needed his ministry. And he could not talk to all of them at the same time. And so he was concerned for his disciples, because his disciples then were trained to go out and do the very thing that Jesus did after Jesus has left this earth. And so he prays to the Father, Father, protect them. Keep them safe from the evil one. Keep them as one. Keep them whole. Keep them strong in faith so that they can continue on in this ministry. The last paragraph in John's chapter 17 is not included in our gospel lesson, but one of the things that he prays for in that last paragraph is actually for the world. And again, we see that focus that's not upon himself, but it is the focus of his ministry, that focus of the mission that he is there. Because he prays for the world, that he prays, Father, that there are countless people who have not yet heard of the glory of God, who have not yet come to believe. And he prays that the world may be receptive to this word that is coming. As Jesus prays for his disciples and he prays for the world, he prays for us too, because we are a continuation of that. We are the disciples now here on this earth. And Jesus calls us into service. And as we pray, and as we think about the ministry that God calls us into, we too can pray for strength. We can pray for thanks that God can use us even though we fall short, even though we don't feel qualified. Even though that we are sinners, it is still amazing that God can use us in his ministry to go out and proclaim his word, go out and proclaim that kingdom of God. And hopefully we can proclaim that in a way that people actually hear and understand. We can say the words, but that it may just glance off of them. We can do deeds, but maybe they won't see them. But maybe there is a way, as individuals, I mean, because it is one-on-one a lot of times, the best way to proclaim that kingdom of God. Maybe through some sort of communication, some sort of skills that God has given you, some sort of talents or abilities, that they can hear that word and that they can come to believe. Jesus prayed for himself so that God's glory may shine through him. He prayed for his disciples so that they can continue on in ministry. And he prayed for everyone that they may hear who he is. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the grace and peace of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with us now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 158. 158. Thank you. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for me the sign of that love, and that we may continue to share your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray in the name of our risen and ascended Savior, for the church, the world, and for all people according to their needs. This congregation thanks and praises you for the passion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ our Savior. Grant us grace to live in accordance with his commands, to proclaim his lordship over the world, and to share his forgiveness and grace with those who need them most. Lord, in your mercy. Ease the suffering of all who are persecuted for naming Jesus as Lord, and give gentleness to their words and peace in their hearts. Bring to repentance and humble faith all who torment them. We also ask for your gracious favor upon all missionaries of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. You care tenderly for your people, especially the littlest who are laid in your arms. We therefore ask your blessings upon all mothers and those who act with a mother's love. Give them your own patience, steadfastness, tenderness, and wisdom. Share your deep gentleness and strong love as they care for their children. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son has ascended on high and rules as King of all nations. Grant wisdom, humility, and fairness to the leaders of earth, and teach all people to live together in peace and unity until the day Christ comes to judge the living and the dead. Bless this nation with peace, honor, and goodness, and conform it to your will, Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the needs of all those whose lives are shadowed by suffering or sorrow. Grant to them the abundant life promised by Jesus. Fill them with grace and comfort of your Holy Spirit, and bless those who care for them.
We pray especially for Laverne Weishwell, Hilmar Copeman, Clifford Hahn, Tammy Garner, and the families of Dee Tesh and Betty Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as Christ has ascended to heaven to reign in glory forever, we await the coming of that day when we too shall live with you and with all of your people in joy and glory everlasting. We entrust into your care those who have died, trusting your promised inheritance. Keep us in union with them and with all your saints and with you in the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Hear and graciously answer our prayers in accordance with your will, dear Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 369.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.